from Sandquist Fields. Broadcasting around the world.
Around the world.
It's time to talk softball with the man, the myth, the legend, Duke Weisbrod. And also, what's his name? Chris Fernanda. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Cambridge Isanti Softball Podcast.
All right, guys, welcome to episode 6 of the Cambridge Isanti Softball Podcast. This is Chris, joined here by Duke. Duke, how's it going tonight, bud?
I'm doing fine, Dr. V.
All right, glad to hear that. So we got a lot to cover tonight. We're going to cover local player and team news. We're going to recap the TOC. We're going to check in on the fall leagues here at Sandquist. We're going to preview the Sober Draft. And then finally, we're going to end with podcast-worthy plays. We're going to start off with local player and team news. So what do we got here, Duke?
Well, just to begin with, I wanted to shout out to Tristan Johnson, a Cambridge guy, Stanchfield. Many people know Tristan. He has risen to the top of the elite in upper-level softball nationwide. Many have said he could be one of the best outfielders in the nation, certainly in the Midwest. Plays on Comatose out of that Mauston area over in Wisconsin. There's others as well. We know about Jake Freeman, Cody Kelsa, and Aaron Schumacher. I think Jake Freeman, not sure what year he graduated from Cambridge here, but he plays for Duck Tech. He was the home run champion down at the Nationals in Oklahoma City a few weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Tristan Johnson was named All-American, I think, in the B division or the A division and the double A division. So two separate tournaments. He turned some heads. So congrats to those boys.
Well, that's big time for both those guys. That's awesome.
Yes, no doubt.
All right. So as we get started here, there are three sponsors from the TOC that we didn't mention last time because things were finalized after the recording of the show, and really appreciate their sponsorship. So those would be McDonald Distributing, their beer distributor, Isanti Rental. They're a great place. They're in Isanti for equipment, party rentals. We've rented tents from them, chairs, other things like that. They always do a great job. And then lastly, Emmett Peterson is a DJ. He DJed at the TOC. I believe he was at the Cambridge Classic, and you guys have seen him around at Sandquist before. He does a great job, does weddings and all that, so always keep him in mind if you need any DJ work. And we, again, thank all three of those sponsors. Really appreciate it.
The TOC, August 18th through the 20th, in my mind, was one of the best tournaments I've ever been involved in, with 41 teams total, and I've never seen, Chris, more one-run games and more games that were decided by a walk-off in the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning. That always makes for a great, great tournament.
Starting off with the women's. Champion was on point. And I got to say, I was rooting for the local teams, of course, in this. But if it wasn't going to be a local team winning it, I was happy that On Point won it because they're from my hometown, Cedar Rapids. So go On Point. They did good.
Yep.
They defeated Duck Tech 14-8 for the championship. And then the Minnesota Wreckers got third place.
Correct. Yep.
All tournament, Christine Hausman got MVP in Tier 1. She was with On Point. Then looking at Tier 2, Chaos local team got runner-up, and they had a really close game against Minnesota Inferno 18-15 in the championship game. And Katie Curran, is that correct?
Yep, Katie Curran, or Corin, I believe it is. She was MVP of the
for Tier 2.
Tier 2, correct, yep. And then we had three local gals. Chaos had picked up Corbin Schultz from the Jailbirds, and Abby Shearer and Heather Dean, the pitcher, were also named to the all-tournament team.
All right. Congrats to all three of those gals. That's great. 18 to 15, that's not bad in the championship either against a really good Minnesota Inferno team. So congrats are in order to them. Switching gears to the men's division. So this was really competitive. Tier 1, the championship was St. Cloud Subaru. Runner-up was MMB. I believe they're from Fargo, if I'm not mistaken. And then Maniacs, I believe Lino Lakes area. Is that correct, Duke? They got third?
Yep, mainly metro area, but based out of Lino Lakes, correct?
Okay. Nick Peterson was the Tier 1 MVP and made the all-tournament team. Tier 2, a lot of local representation here. So the champion was the Miners. They're from Little Falls-ish area, I believe.
I think they're probably more towards that Dassel, Cocado, Hutchinson area.
Okay. I'm on the wrong end of the state, but yep. They're a pretty fun team. They're not local, of course, but they're really fun. I remember them here from last year and talked to them last year. And I don't know if I mentioned this on the last podcast when we were previewing the TOC, but their name is the Miners, M-I-N-E-R-S. But they actually got their team name because when they started, they were all Miners under 18. And then once they became 18, they just changed the name. And I talked to those guys a lot because every day they'd show up with new uniforms. And the last day, they're in the old-school Florida Marlins-looking uniforms. So really fun, and they seem like really good sports. And they played well. So I think they went undefeated, if I'm not mistaken. And they won Tier 2. They defeated Unbound, a local team, 17-5 in the championship game. But shout-out to Unbound. They went 5-2 during the tournament, and both their losses were to the Miners. So they only lost to the champion. So they played quite well, and we'll cover the guys from that team that made the all-tournament team here in a second. And then Lost Mule, BP Metals, got third place, another local team. Tier 3, BD Bandits defeated Twisted Pandas in the championship game. Twisted Pandas had a great run. They won three straight to make it to the Tier 3 title game. Another local team, Studweiser's, got third. Looks like they tied with Riverland Bank for third. And I want to point out Apex. So Apex did not place, but they had a really good run as well that was noteworthy. They lost to eventual champion Miners 6-5. That was the Miners' closest game in the tournament, so one run. And then they defeated Riverland Bank, who got third handily. I want to say the score was like 22-11. So they showed up quite well, and they lost to a really good Berserk team, which was probably in the highest scoring game of the tournament, 40-26. So, again, they didn't place, but nothing to hang their heads about. They did really, really good and represented Sandquist quite well there. Looking at the all-tournament team, so the Tier 2 MVP was Gavin Clocker, I believe, from the Miners. And then we're heavily represented here with local guys, Josiah Schumann from Unbound, Bryce McConville from Unbound, Zach Peterson from Unbound, all made the Tier 2 alternate team. And then Leroy Hagen, is it? Is that correct?
Yeah, better known as Pee-wee. Oh,
okay, yep, I know who that is. Then I'd never heard that name before, but Pee-wee, yep, his jersey's Reed Pee-wee, so... Congrats to him, and then Dan Kaiser as well from Lost Mule BP Metals. And then Garrett Carlson from the Twisted Pandas made it as well. And then noteworthy Adam Johnson, not local, but from the BD Bandits, was the Tier 3 MVP.
Yes, Adam and I talked to Vern Anderson, the coach from the BD Bandits. They actually had a couple of teams. The other one from Willow River is called Make Softball Great Again. I had talked to him yesterday, and both those teams are going to be at Men's Fall in a week and a half over in Sauk Rapids. So good bunch of guys to have around. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was a really great tournament. Again, just to reiterate, every game was so close. And what I, another thing I noticed, I didn't mention this before, is looking at Tier 1, you know, we had the pool games at first, and it seemed like all the lower seeds were the ones that made it really far in the tournament. I'm pretty certain that MMB, who got second, I think they went 0-2 in the pool play. Is that correct?
I think so, yes. And I thought maybe Maniacs did too, and they ended up third. But, you know, the thing to do when you're facilitating a tournament, and of course the MSF structures it, but Perry will always ask my opinion. And if I don't know something about the team, I will call somebody that does know. And that was a pretty well evenly structured tournament. It really was. There were some good teams, and like I say, I've never seen games that close in my life. I mean, it was amazing, which makes for a good tournament.
Switching gears, let's check in on the fall leagues here at Sandquist. So we'll start off with the Co-Rec. And man, this is a tough league, I'll say that. So what the top five teams, is that what you'd estimate it to be? There's kind of a tier separation where we've got North Branch Chev, Immortal Insulation, Average Joe's, Blue Ballers, and Fun to Watch, all with run differentials above 75, all great records. And just looking at the talent on those teams, I can tell you all of these teams have some of the best men's and women's players here on those teams. So really, you watch some of those games between the top teams and anything can happen. So
yes, yeah, that's a strong, strong league. And we had 16 teams in the league, and it's really fun to see all levels of play. I mean, there were some teams that are sneaky too, like Marge's Pub out of Brook Park. Jimmy's Pizza won some games. There was great sportsmanship from the whatever ballers or retrievers, Awesome Sauce, BWO. The Pub of North Branch is sitting at 7-5 right now in league with a couple games on Thursday night, but that can be a very good team too. So very good teams at the top there that are going to state.
Yeah, and so the ones going to state are North Branch Chev, Immortal Insulation, Average Joe's, Fun to Watch, Pizza Pub from North Branch, and the Outcasts.
Correct.
And looking at what might happen here, so I believe that the Mason's Crew are in first place with only one official loss here. So if they win out, it looks like they're going to win first place. But we're looking at three other teams here with two losses in North Branch Chev, Immortal Insulation, Average Joe's, and I got to shout out the Average Joe's. These guys have the coolest team name and uniforms from Dodgeball. So shout out to those guys. They seem like a really fun team. So
absolutely, yep. Yeah, there's, if you look on the website or at the park, I've got the tiebreakers listed as well. The unfortunate part with a big league and, you know, lights go out at 10:15 is sometimes you get into a competitive game and you can't get it finished. Mm-hmm. And it's tough to get people back on certain nights to play those games and get them finished. So keep in mind, it's mentioned in the tiebreaker system too, that if that game can't be finished for advancing seeds into the state tournament or for league awards, they just don't count. And before people think, well, geez, we needed that win to be in second place or whatever, you got to remember on the other side of the coin, if you would have lost that game too, it's going to hurt you. So unfortunately, sometimes we just can't get them finished. And hopefully within time we get lights or a light extension. Mm-hmm. And be able to spread out those games a little bit. But yes, very competitive league. That state tournament is in Sauk Rapids this weekend. Everybody's saying, oh boy, it's going to be a washout. It's going to be terrible rain. But you know what? I'm not worried. It might rain, but we still play. So
yeah, nothing you can do about it.
But, and then, Chris, one more thing on the on the league. Thursday night's the last night, so there's going to be a lot of, there are some critical games, too, that will play into the column of wins and losses. But as usual, I'll make it quick, but we'll have a little award ceremony at about 8:05. So if you could get your teams up to the concession stand, we'll make sure we get those, get you back on the field by 8:05. But we've got all tournament teams to announce. We'll do it quickly. We've got team sportsmanship. We may not be able to give out any trophies at that time because we probably won't know till 9:59. Mm-hmm. But that will be the last night. So, and before I forget, Chris, on these fall leagues, mm-hmm. 1 year we did what was called a money ball, little mini tournament, a couple of nights, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night or something like that, when we sensed that early October had some nice balmy 80-degree weather coming. Keep your eyes on that. What we requested there was that each team have at least three gals and just do like a 6-8 team tournament over a couple of nights. It was fun, actually. So that's a possibility, great. Too.
Yeah, if I were playing in that league, I would definitely be doing that tournament because, you know, everyone's body gets sore at the end of the year. You're kind of ready for it to be done. But if you're given the opportunity to play more, you want to keep playing. Switching gears again. We're going to check in on the men's league, and this league is really competitive. Lots of great teams here. So looking at the top of the standings, we have Unbound Construction at 10-0, and Pizza Pub right behind them at 9-1. And what's interesting here is their run differentials are pretty much identical at 118 and 123 at the moment. And these guys play each other last game of the season. So 9:05 p.m., Field 3, last week of the year. Pizza Pub versus Unbound, basically playing for the championship. Pizza Pub, assuming these guys win out, which is not a foregone conclusion, but if they do win out and Pizza Pub wins, it's going to get down, my understanding is it will get down to the run differential between those two teams in their two games against each other. So a lot is on the line there.
I got to tell a little story, and this is the truth. Mm-hmm. I think it was about 10 years ago, in our men's league, Eric Shadeen from nowadays called Immortal was involved as a coach, and Eric Reby from his team. And there was a big state tournament, I think, in Bemidji that following weekend, and they had an identical record, and Eric's team beat Eric's team 13-12, and then vice versa, they beat them 13-12. So the run differential was identical at zero. The runs allowed and the runs scored were identical. And we flipped a coin, which is the fifth tiebreaker. And Eric Reby won the tiebreaker and they went up to Bemidji and they won a 32 team state tournament. So don't say it can't happen because it did.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think, this will be a fantastic finish in that league. What's funny, I think, Dr. V, is the state tournament in a week and a half in Sauk Rapids. That should be some good numbers up there. I'm thinking 22 to 25 teams. And I think that we might have 9 teams going out of this league. And just from what I've been hearing, that will be a great representation.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at the standings, so, I mean, these two teams are, you know, you can tell based on the record and the run differential, they're the kind of the cream of the crop here. But then we've got, what, 6 teams, I'd say, maybe more, and the next bunch that are all very similar. Mm-hmm. Apex is 8-2, but their run differential is, you know, right there with the next 3 or 4 teams, like Team Hoots, Immortal, New Legacy. And then not far behind them are Decently Average, Chico's Mule, even Twisted Pandas. So nice, really competitive league. And I think all of those guys would have, you know, good odds at having a good run here in, at the state tournament here in a couple of weeks. So
you bet.
Want to talk some Sober Draft?
Sure. You bet. I think it was 5 years ago. Chris Green and Tony Aragoni came to me, and they had been doing the first couple Sober Drafts, I think, in one of the big suburbs in St. Paul. I won't name the name, but they were charging them quite a bit of money to use the fields. And, you know, I don't own those fields out there at Sanquis, but even though we haven't talked a lot about it, I would guess that the city wouldn't be in favor of us charging, you know, $1,500 or $2,000 to use the fields. But the one thing that we have talked about is that any tournament that we do, we are going to be involved a little bit. And I hope that's not wrong, but I think if people would put themselves in our spots, we've got a lot invested there. I mean, there's little things like, you know, concession equipment and trash removal and things like that. So we need to be involved. And we don't want somebody to come in and do a bad job and somebody not get paid, things like that. You know, it's just when you've got a lot of players like that, weird things can happen. They really can. It's called crowd control. And so once again, they said, well, how much would you charge to use the complex? Well, Chris just reached 27 years of sobriety, September 10th of 96. That's so awesome. Really, in a sense, they were talking to the right guy. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, we won't charge you anything, but I want you to help me and our staff make a donation to some of the local churches or sober houses or AA programs. And to date, we have done that. I think this is our fourth one. We moved it off of Labor Day. Chris Green, who was heavily involved, moved out to Rhode Island. Congratulations to Chris on the babies him and his wife just had. But it's been a great tournament. And to date, we have donated about $4,000 to the First Baptist Church, New Hope Church, Isani County, Mission 61. Did I mention the Lutheran Church? I can't remember.
Nope.
At any rate, they've given us the majority of the money. We've chipped in as well. And that was one of the deals. If you're going to come and use our park, we're going to be involved a little bit. You can run it the way you feel fit, as long as it's within reason. And it's been great. So Friday night is the kickoff of that with the Over 35 tournament, Chris. It's, I believe, 8 teams. And then the normal Sober Draft tournament starts at 8 a.m. with 5 fields going at 8 a.m. and most of the day. The total number of participants, I think, is 324. And it all derived as a time for people to recognize that you can play ball and you don't have to drink or use drugs. It's just a clean, clean weekend where you can get a lot of support from your friends. It's based on recovery awareness. The Sober Draft Committee has actually donated upwards of $50,000 to different homes in the cities where they house people in recovery and so on. But it really is about the fellowship. And I know there's a lot of people that say this is their favorite tournament. For many people, it is about 100% working the program, the 12-step program, and relaxing and so on. In order to play in the tournament, that doesn't necessarily have to be you, the person that may have a beer at an event or something. But for sure, this weekend, it's a clean tournament. And I'm looking forward to it. It's unfortunately on the same weekend as the State Correct Tournament, which personally my team has attended for the last 30 years, I believe. At any rate, you're going to be there some, and it will be fun. It will be a blast, as a matter of fact. I have went by what Tony says. We've spoke often here in the last couple of days, and we've got a structure that I think people will like. It's very difficult to get everything on paper and online, but the pool games are going to be Saturday morning, 8, 9.05, 10, 10, 11, 15, and 12, 20. And you're going to play two games in 8 different pools. And Tony is all about trying to keep it as fair as possible. So we think we have, we don't know everybody, of course, and neither do they, but we think we have a good structure. And then from there on out, it's going to be seeded into a Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3, which will be a double elimination tournament from there on out. And I believe that there is 8 teams in each bracket. So there, there's nothing better than an 8-team bracket. It's divisible by 2 and 4, and it's just perfect right to the end. So we think that all teams are coming back Sunday morning, which I don't know about you, but when you play in a tournament, it's fun to think Saturday night that you'll get to play on Sunday. And we will be ready and equipped for the Sober Draft tournament. I do want to mention, Chris, and you have a lot to do with this, but we, I think, have a very good concession stand. We have a brand new card machine where we can take debit cards and credit cards, which has been very helpful in the last month or so. The sober folks that were here, or the Sober Draft players, I should say, last year, I heard a lot of people ask, oh, I wish you had a card machine. I don't have any cash and that kind of thing. But
yeah, for sure. I remember that.
Yep. And we've got a few rules around the park, Chris, but they're nothing that's, just the city gives us leniency to run tournaments and accept people, and they trust us to do the right thing. So when we talk about not parking on the grass, please don't park on the grass. No smoking in the dugouts or the fields. And hopefully no drinking on the fields or in the dugouts.
Right.
But don't sit out in the parking lot either and do that stuff. We expect that you would give us a chance in the concession stand. I know maybe if somebody brings a sub sandwich, there's not much we can do about that. But we have a very, very good concession stand. And as a matter of fact, to those listeners, Dr. V and myself are coming up with a name right now for a special concession deal or a burger named after the weekend. We have Pepsi products. We have giant seeds. We have ice creams. We have candy, all kinds of candy for the kids. Some great hot dogs, some great brats. Herman's Bakery's fresh buns. So like I say, just a few park rules that if you could help us with, we would appreciate it.
Yeah, and I just want to add one thing. We will hook you guys up. So I remember last year a guy came up to me and he had a craving for a burger with a donut bun. So he brought me a donut. I sliced it in half and I grilled it for him.
And oh, yes.
We will hook you guys up. So if you want a custom burger like that, as long as we're not too busy, we're always happy to help or anything like that. So just, use the concession stand and we'll take care of you.
You bet. I just want to mention some of these names that these teams come up with, Chris. I got to run a couple by you here. You'll be happy with one of them because we've had this conversation before. Mm-hmm. But the Trash Pandas are in this tournament, Chris. The Trash Pandas.
Are you serious? That's awesome.
I am serious,
Let's
yes.
Let's go. I'm rooting for those guys.
You bet.
I need to get a jersey somehow if they got jerseys with that name.
You bet. We'll connect with them somehow or another. Moving down the road here a little bit. There is a team called No Hit Sherlock. There is a team called the Sober Sluggers. There is a team just for today. That's a great name for this tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's a team called the Chalky Milk Time, I think, or Chalky Milk something or another. There's great names. So at any rate, like I say, 50K to the Sober World. They've donated 4,000 locally. We've donated. I do want to mention, of course, there's anonymity. Is that correct? Involved here.
But yes, that's correct. And I struggle with that one as well.
Oh,
so,
boy.
No worries there. But you did it right.
You know what I'm talking about. Anyways, there were several people that come from out of state. But there was a guy that I found out was from southeastern United States. And he was a ball player, bigger guy. And he came up to me, and I was talking to him. And I said, I got to ask you, Not that we weren't proud to have them at our park, but I said, why would you come to Cambridge, Minnesota from the southeastern part of the United States to play softball? And he said, well, I'll tell you something, Duke. He says, these are my brothers and sisters, and Minnesota's recovery program saved my life. And I got thinking about that. I thought, you know what? He's right. He's in a place where he's safe and relaxed. And so once again, the fellowship and camaraderie and support is just amazing. And, you know, you don't have to be completely sober like myself to not need a weekend where things are kind of slowed down a little bit and you can talk to people about things of life. And so hopefully we can play well in Sauk Rapids and I can get back there. I'll be there Friday and Sunday, and I think you'll be there Saturday and Sunday, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
You bet. I do think they have some raffles, too, I've heard of. Tony was talking about a TV, a tool set, three vendors, I think. S2N, Bob Hortenbach with the Easton trailer. Maybe, is it SIS, I think? And then also Joe McMahon, I think, from Berserk was going to try to get there. I don't know. He's runs pretty hard all spring and summer long, so I'm not sure if he's bringing his trailer or not. But there'll be plenty of deals for people, and I think we're all set.
All right, so before we wrap up the show, it's time for Podcast Worthy Plays, the new segment we got, thanks to James Klimek for coming up with the idea. And speaking of James Klimek, guess what, buddy? You're podcast worthy here. So play number one. This goes back to the TOC Friday night. It was New Legacy versus the Miners, who won the Tier 2 title. And James Klimek hit an inside the park home run. And you're probably thinking, inside the park home run, that happens a fair amount. That's not really that podcast worthy. But tell you what, if you were there and saw it, you wouldn't think that. So James hit the ball deep. I was watching with my wife, Rachel, his wife, Mary, and a couple other people, and we thought it was out, and we were wondering, why is James still sprinting around second base? We actually said that out loud. He didn't slow down, and we realized the ball was in play. The ball hit the fence, and the left center fielder, I believe it was, got the ball, threw it in, and the pitcher ended up cutting it off. There was a throw to home. Pitcher cut it off because it wasn't going to be close. The hustle on that play was just, it's not something you see all the time. And Duke, I was kind of talking about this play earlier, but one thing I didn't tell you is, you know, I watched a lot of the big games that weekend, and I won't mention the team names because I want to keep this positive, but I watched a game between two of the heavyweight teams at this tournament that have won this tournament recently, let's just say that. And there was a one-run game. This game went extra innings and was decided by one run in a walk-off. And the game could have ended differently. I think it was the bottom of the seventh inning or top of the seventh inning. One of these, again, elite teams, guy hit into a double play that should not have been a double play, but it was only because he jogged to first base. The runner at second was out clearly. He should not have been out at first. They probably should have won the game. So you don't see that hustling all the time, and that's a pet peeve of mine. And that's something with James where this dude hustles as much as anybody out there at Sandquist. And to that end, I was talking to Whiskey. He was up in one of our games for Good Neighbors here in the Fall League, and he told me that James is probably the most improved player he's ever seen. And that says a lot because Whiskey's umped for a long, long time. Watch softball, not just here, but all over the place. And he said James is the most improved player he's ever seen. He couldn't think of anyone else that's been more improved anywhere.
Yes, he's a beast. He's a beast.
Yep. So shout out to James, and congrats, Turn Order, because you are podcast worthy.
You know, if you don't mind, Chris, I'm going to interject something.
Of course.
Okay, this kind of brought back memories. I think over the weekend I was watching some old clips of podcast-worthy things, even though podcasts didn't exist then. But do you remember when Randy Moss lit it up against the Cowboys and had just... destroyed the Cowboys on maybe it was a Monday night game or something.
Thanksgiving. Yep, rookie year, yep.
That reminds me of something that's podcast-worthy in my mind. Do you remember the play with Jose Canseco about, 25 years ago where he was tracking a fly ball and getting back by the fence? And Bounced off his forehead and went over the fence.
Yep.
I don't know if that you know this, but you know Packy Lind?
I do, yep.
Yep, Packy's a marvelous player. He was playing right center for J.L. Sweeters or the Drillers or somebody, and somebody hit a long ball to right center. Normally, he plays infield. He's got those great hands. But he didn't have great hands on this play. But that same exact thing happened in right center. And as he was heading back to the fence, probably 20 feet within it, it hit his forehead and glanced over the fence. And we actually laughed about that for a couple of days afterwards. But Packy Lind from the past, that was a podcast-worthy play.
All right. Congrats to you, Packy, for that. And this might be a good time to say, if you guys have any plays you want to nominate for this, you know, we're getting towards the end of the season here. Just let Duke or myself know, however you want. Text, email, in person, Facebook, whatever. Just let us know, and we'll be happy to share it on the show. So the next play, we'll call this play number three then, was in the co-rec league, involved Pizza Pub North Branch versus the Whatever Ballers. I was actually grilling when this happened. I look over and I saw a major collision. What had happened was there was a pop fly in the infield. The pitcher and the catcher, both sprinting for the ball, collided. And again, major collision. The pitcher, I believe... hit his head on the ground on the way down. And he was in really rough shape. Both players were in really rough shape. And I need your help, Duke, here to with the, let me know, the gal that helped out. But one of the players from Pizza Pub North Branch just completely took over the situation and made sure everyone was okay. We paused the game for a bit. And she was, you know, doing tests on the players, make sure they're okay. After a while, helped them stand up. All that, and she just really, really took charge of the situation. So I'll kick it to you to fill in the details there.
Yeah, Doctor, you had actually told me what had happened because it was back behind the building there on field one. But the gal's name is Dina Johnson. She's played a lot of ball. She's a great, great ball player. She's a great gal. I think she's got a healthcare job down at NICU, the University Children's area. But I was out on the field. I think you had grabbed a couple of Gatorades to make sure the players were hydrated and so on. And certainly the player that the male player was, he was dazed. But this Dina, with her experience, was all over him as far as doing the eye tests and asking questions left and right. And she knew exactly what she was doing. So... yes, and then I thought about a couple more nurses that were there if we needed, but I think Dina had things completely under control. So,
yeah, she sure did, and we all appreciate it, as I'm sure the players involved did. So congratulations to you, Dina, because you are podcast-worthy.
There we go.
All right, play number four then. Involved your team, North Branch Chev versus Fun to Watch. This was in the co-rec league just last week. And this ended up being a one-run game. I think you said it was 14-13 was the final.
Mm-hmm.
And Fun to Watch was coming back late in the game. They had several runs in this. I want to say it was probably the bottom of six, but I could be wrong on that. But at any rate, the point is, this game was decided by defense. I saw not one, not two, but three nearly back-to-back podcast-worthy plays on defense. I'll need your help with the names here, but... they were basically the shortstop and the third baseman on your team. It was like watching Derek Jeter and A-Rod in their prime. I've not seen anything like it recently. They were really, really good.
Yeah, those are high-level athletes. You're talking about Jared Sachs at third base and Chad Olson from Princeton at shortstop. just interject something, Chris. I've kept everything, you know that, from my softball career. And there used to be a team from North Branch, St. Croix, called the Electric Eels. They were a good men's DRE team. And I found a stat sheet that must have got left behind. I still have it in the office. But Jared Sachs was probably, I don't know, about 16 years old, and he had a 807 batting average as a rising star. That's correct. Yeah. But he's got some phenomenal hands. And I think 3, 4, 5 years ago, I'd said Jared Sachs played the most softball of anybody in the whole state. Every team that he played on was in the championship game, and he played leagues all over the place. He might have played 400 games, but real quick hands, very athletically inclined, and Chad Olson at shortstop, very athletically inclined also. I mean, those guys made some phenomenal plays. They really did.
Yeah, so the plays I saw, I can remember two of them kind of in detail. Again, there was three, but I'm spacing on one of them, but the first play was to the third baseman, Jared, made an incredible stop at third base that I don't think many guys at Sandquist would make. And then gunned it over to Livy Olson at first, and she stretched out and got the out there. Great play on both ends, for sure, but really Jared's stop was the highlight of that. And then the other play was with Chad at shortstop, and he made two of the plays. I just forget what the first one was, but the second one might have ended the game, actually. Made a great diving stop at short. Again, this was a play I don't think many people would make. He stopped the ball, but it was, you know, not a clean stop because it was a very difficult play. So the play at first base wasn't there, but he recovered, threw it to second base, got the force out there, and I believe that ended the game. And just want to emphasize, those were high-level plays consistently from both those guys. So really impressed by that. So congratulations are in order to Jared and Chad, because you are podcast worthy.
Sounds good.
And then one final play. This was Logan Osland from New Legacy. He had several great plays in this game, but on Softball Sunday, there was a deep hit to left center where Logan was playing. And he threw a laser to home plate on a rope, basically, and got a player out going to home. He also hit a grand slam in that game. I believe he was 5 for 5. And if you don't know, Logan is Tristan Zimprick's brother. And he reminds me a lot of Tristan in the outfield in particular. I used to play with Tristan in Church League back in the day. So I got an up-close view of just what a great defensive outfielder Tristan was. And I coached Logan for several years in Church League and played alongside him in Church League and Fall League last year. And he tracks the ball the same way and catches with the same confidence. It's like Byron Buxton or something out there defensively, like completely elite in the outfield. But Logan also has a lot of power, and he's only 17 years old. I think he's got 7 or 8 or 9 home runs in fall. I remember actually in the summer league, he wasn't able to play much for New Legacy in the summer because of baseball, but he was there in the tournament, and he got up in the 7th inning down by 1. And I knew this was going to happen because I don't think people realize how good of a player he is yet. He hit a bomb to tie the game over the fence. And I don't want to overstate this, but I believe, my opinion, Logan at age 17 is already one of the upper echelon players we have at Sandquist. I don't know how high you would put it, if it's top 10, top 20 certainly, probably top 10. Somewhere in that range is my opinion again. But I really think he's one of the absolute elite players we have out there, and he's only 17. So
I would agree. Yep. Look out. I would agree. His dad, Eric Osland, was a great player for Lee's Pro Shop in their heydays too.
Yeah. And you can tell he's been coached well over the years. And Eric, I've played with him for many, many years as well. He's definitely the smartest player I've ever played with, and probably one of my favorite teammates ever. So does a really good job teaching the game to not just his kids, but everyone that he plays with. So at any rate, congrats. Struggling with this word tonight, man. Congrats, Logan, because you are podcast worthy. Perfect. So again, mentioned this before, but if you guys have any nominations for this, just hit Duke or myself up and we'll get it on the show. So Duke, appreciate talking to you tonight. It was fun.
Well, I appreciate it, Dr. V. Thank you for facilitating the podcast. It's been quite a year. I think we're probably sitting at 11 tournaments in some large leagues, and we'll just keep working and working, and maybe we get lights on those two other fields, and that would help a lot. That would help our situation. But thanks, everybody, for playing at Sanquist Park, and thank you, Chris.
Have a good one. See you guys.
Good night.